Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, hello, hello to everyone on the line. We do so appreciate your joining us on tonight. We're starting about a half an hour or so later on this evening, and we do appreciate you making time out of your schedules to join in with us. On tonight, we just want to begin to delve into some truths with the Holy Spirit as our teacher that will help us to come against lies that are masquerading as truth. And on tonight, we want to definitely impart some truth for various things. Centering in on tonight or focusing in on tonight, talking about bitterness, And bitterness is something that I really believe that the people of God are not dealing with properly, and because of it is causing causing some delays and blessings and things of that nature. And so what we want to do, we want to open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to use go and dive into the word and begin to unearth some truths about bitterness. Amen. Thank you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come now before your sight and before your presence, O Lord God. We come, Father God, in the name of Jesus, just asking that you would open our eyes, God. Open our eyes, O Lord God, that we may behold wonderful things out of your truth and out of your law, God. And then help us, O Father, to apply that truth to our everyday lives, O Lord God. Our desire is to be a living testimony of who you are in our lives. Our desire, O Lord God, is to be the manifestation of who you would have us to be in the earth, O Lord God. So we just thank you even now, O Lord God, as we become manifested truths of your word, O Lord God. We just thank you even now, O God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we desire that your word would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. So, God, enlarge yourself in us. Hallelujah. Enlarge your word in us, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we forever give you the praises, the glory, and the honor that you so richly deserve. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. So on today specifically, I wanted to look at a scripture, and the scripture is taken from the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. Those of you that have your Bibles, we're looking at Ephesians. We want to look at the fourth chapter, Ephesians 4, and we want to start at the, I believe I want to do the 31st and the 32nd verse. Going even further up. Let's start with 30. Let's start at verse 30. Verse 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And so as we look at this particular scripture, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor be put away. And as I begin to just kind of look at the things, we understand that, that bitterness is a very, very destructive and dangerous emotion, and it has to be dealt with. If it's not dealt with, it can have spiritual ramifications that can literally destroy you. It robs you of your peace, of your joy. It opens the door to Satan to control your life. It can lead to loss of friends. It can hurt or destroy your relationship with family, your wife. It even can lead to breakups in the home. If we make peace and harmony, it can make peace and harmony impossible. And so when we begin to look at bitterness and see the ramifications that come from it, the negative ramifications that come from bitterness, we understand that this is a thing that we need to begin to address. One of the things that kind of came to play or really came to my mind is that bitterness really comes, it's an emotion, but it's an emotion that's really rooted in selfishness and self-centeredness. When you become bitter, most of the time it's because it was something that you wanted. I'm not saying in all cases, but the majority of the time it's something that you wanted that you couldn't get, and then bitterness was rooted from it. I like the NIV version of Ephesians 31. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger. And that really, really puts the onus on us as Christians. It's up to us to rid ourselves of bitterness. It's up to us to set up some safeguards, hallelujah, some safeguards in order that bitterness not even be allowed, that it not take root in our hearts and begin to grow. I think a lot of times bitterness can stem from unhealthy anger. Anger is an emotion. The Bible says be angry and sin not. But I think that when it's unhealthy anger, or when it's anger that's left unaddressed, then I think that bitterness begins to form, and then next thing you know, your whole facial expression, everything about you becomes bitter. And so we want to make sure that we are addressing bitterness. We have to, it says, you get rid of all bitterness. You know, some things we tell the Holy Spirit to do when God has given us the commandment that we're the one who's supposed to do it. In other words, he's already empowered us to be able to do some things, and we keep trying to let the Holy Spirit or, you know, God make me do it, and God is not going to go against him, his own self, with certain things. And so we have to take responsibility and begin to deal with bitterness in our lives. And so as we begin to just kind of go over some things and look at some things, I was studying today, I came across a site that was talking about it's our job to restore, not to condemn, not to criticize. Again, the NIV version says get rid of. You take responsibility. Again, our job is to restore. Our job is not to have bitterness. And most of the time when bitterness is rearing its head in us, it prevents us from being able to want to forgive. It prevents us from want to talk. It shuts us down. And we get an obstinate type of a disposition where we become unapproachable for people. People don't want to come around us because bitterness tends to show itself through us. And so we have to make sure that we are not in a place where anger, uncontrolled anger or misdirected anger and bitterness are noticeable signs that you don't want to be bothered. Again, I want us to understand that bitterness can come from signs of being self-focused and not trusting God's sovereignty in your own life. Those of you that have your Bibles, if you would turn with me right quickly in Romans 5, verses 3-5. I hope you got your Bibles in front of you. I know that I'm doing this a little differently tonight, but I just want us to begin to teach us to pour the Word of God into us. So Romans 5, verses 3-5, okay, it says this, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, but the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And that's Romans 5, verses 3-5. And so it's just talking about letting the Holy Spirit have his perfect work in us, allowing the Holy Spirit to work patience in us. And now each of these things kind of compounds on the other. Let me just read it again. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. When things happen to us, we joy in it. Now, most of us, and I can be a witness and attest to that, most of us have not gotten to a point where every time something, a tribulation or something confronts us that looks like it's against us, we don't glory in it. But it says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. You learn how to become patient. You learn how to trust in God and his sovereignty through tribulations. Even when that tribulation looks like people are against you, or that everybody's kind of set their home against you, or they're coming against you, these things make us strong. stronger in the Lord, and we tend to not look at it as a blessing, but there can be a blessing in it if we could just begin to trust God's sovereignty. Amen. And it says that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh us not ashamed, but the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So God's love in everything that we go through, that goes back to the scripture, my God, to glory. That goes back to the scripture in Romans 8 when he told us that, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And so like in the scripture, we've got to begin to understand and not be selfish and become bitter when tribulation come, or not become bitter when people seem to be coming obstinately against us. We've got to begin to trust the sovereignty of God, first and foremost, that all things are going to work together for good, and that the love of the Lord is being shed abroad in our hearts. That's what the fifth verse said, that it's going to make us not ashamed. You're not going to have to be ashamed of that thing if you could just begin to relax in the Holy Spirit, if you could just begin to let go of the reins and let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit was called to do, and that's to lead us into all truth. Amen, somebody. Oh, my God, to glory. And so we have to begin to trust God and trust God's sovereignty in our life, that understanding that we don't need to protect our rights. We don't need to defend ourselves. The very thing that upset you, God will use it to perfect and to motivate you to work through these tribulations, becoming a blessing instead of a curse. We don't even give it an opportunity to kind of work itself out, because we stop in the middle of it. We start blaming God. We start asking the why me, the why me question. I promise you, we need to do something with that. Why not you? If Jesus didn't say why me when he died on the cross for you, we don't have a right to ask why me, because we're going through a little something in our life. Oh, somebody going to say amen. 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 You preaching, Pastor Katie Pierce. Amen. And so as we begin to look at that, we have to begin to understand and trust God's sovereignty and not become upset when obstacles and situations come up on us, because we have to begin to trust God that he's going to bring us through. We're going to have to begin to believe and understand it, that even in that, God is working out some kinks in us, because each of those things, he's working out a situation to get us to that next level that he wants us to get through, okay? But the thing of it is not to stop in the middle of it and become bitter. Not to stop in the middle of it, become bitter against God. Not to stop in the middle of it, become bitter against people. You know what I'm saying? But to begin to trust God's sovereignty and not be selfish, not be self-centered, not feel like, you know, you need to protect your right and defend yourself. I can remember witnessing on the bus some years ago, and this man began to go off on me. It was really on a prejudice, telling me to sit down and shut up. I didn't know what I was talking about. And then I rose up, righteous indignation, self-righteous. Come on, self-righteous indignation. That's not a good one. You're not supposed to be self-righteous. Your righteousness is through Jesus Christ our Lord. But my self-righteousness rose up, and I began to, was ready. I was ready to defend myself, not my faith. Hello, somebody. Ooh, I'm blessing myself on tonight. And so as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit said, shut up. And that's just how he said it to me. Your Holy Spirit may tell you, be quiet. But he told me to shut up. He said, the Spirit of the Lord spoke and said, I don't need you to be my defense attorney. I am the defense. I am. And so I just began to be quiet. And when I was quiet and didn't say anything, another lady on the bus who was a Caucasian persuasion said, you be quiet and leave her alone. She has freedom of speech. She can say whatever she wants to say. Go ahead, sweetie, say what you're saying. But if I would have stepped in, the whole turn of events could have been different. And so we've got to begin to trust God that he's going to do what it takes to work his perfect work in us. Amen, somebody. Okay, and so as we begin to look at the word of God, again, understanding that our job is to restore, is not to condemn, is not to criticize, you know, it's not to get back and vindicate, none of that. We have to establish God's kingdom of peace on earth by walking free of irritations, walking free of criticism, a I can remember going through a situation and I was having a problem with the young lady. And we actually went to the same church and we was having some issues. There was some abrasion that was going on. And so I was asking God, I said, God, I don't know, what is it that I need to do? In my prayers, I was like, God, what is it that I need to do? I felt like I had done everything. And God said, to love more. And I was like, love more? How can I love more? And God began to show me. He said, begin to buy her cards. Begin to give her a card. Just give her a card and say, you know, be encouraged or things of that nature. And I'm like, give her a card. This lady rarely wants to speak to me. And, you know, most of us, when people don't want to talk to us, we feel like, okay, fine, let me oblige you. I'm not going to talk to you either, you know. And that's really not what God would have us to do. So I began to reach out to her. I would give her cards on Sundays. I would buy little trinkets and put it inside the card. And lo and behold, as I began to love more, because the Bible says love covers a multitude of faults. And as I began to love more, then she began, I could see that heart, that stony heart beginning to melt. And she opened up to me a little bit more, and things just kind of fell to the side. And I didn't take that as the opportunity to begin to berate her or tell her, you know, yeah, you was acting all funny and da-da-da-da-da. The past was the past. And so I had to begin to go on in what God was showing me I needed to do, hallelujah, Jesus, I needed to do to better that relationship. We've got to begin to press past what the other person is doing. Watch this. We've got to begin to press past what the spirit of the enemy is doing in somebody else and begin to take authority. Casting out demons ain't always just I come against the spirit of. Sometimes it can just be you. Ah, blessing myself again. Sometimes it could just be you with a kind word. Sometimes it could just be you with, you know, a loving embrace. Amen, somebody. And so we got to begin to know how to get rid of bitterness. We got to begin to know how to come against bitterness in our lives. Amen, amen. I am loving this. It says, you are responsible for controlling your spirit. Since God's word commands you to put away anger and bitterness, then it's possible to do. You know, when we look at situations and, you know, oh, she just made me so mad and I just can't help myself and I'm just so bitter and I just don't know what to do and I don't think I'm going to ever get past this. Have you heard people saying that? I don't think I'm going to ever get past what they did to me. Oh, so you're saying God's sovereignty isn't enough. That when Jesus went to the cross and said, it is finished for you, he didn't finish it. Oh, come on, somebody. Huh? And so we've got to begin to understand that when Jesus said it's finished, I also really wanted to look at the places where Jesus shed his blood and how he shed his blood for your emotional healing. And so bitterness is a negative emotion that we choose to, here's what I'm saying, we choose to hold on to. Huh? We made a conscientious choice that we're going to hold on to this bitterness. And we've got to begin to ask God to help us to let it go. And because Jesus shed his blood for your emotional healing, that's an emotion, a negative emotion that you don't need and that you want to begin to get rid of. Because of the ever-present temptation to live for self rather than to live for God, you must obey God's word, pray habitually, constantly depend on God's spirit, consistently do the word in order to deal biblically with anger. And so we've got to begin to look at it. It's our responsibility. You know, we are a generation of people with shift blaming. We always want to blame somebody else for what we're going through. You know, I could have did this if this person would have. I could have finished college if this person would have did. I could have went across the street if it wouldn't have been a traffic light right there. I could. We've got all these excuses for why we couldn't do something, and we have to begin to stop and take responsibility. Take responsibility so that we can move forward in some things. Move forward in some things. I'm trying to see what verses I want to look at. One verse says Genesis 4:7. This is the day when I really would have loved to have had Evangelist Hosey or Minister Bethel here to kind of pull these scriptures up for me. That's how I preach on Sunday. I call them out, and somebody else turns to them. I got to work for myself on tonight. God is growing me up. How about that? Okay, Genesis 4 and 7. Let's look at that right quick, those of you that have your Bibles. If you could turn with me to Genesis 4. Genesis 4, hold on. I'm getting there, I promise you. Genesis 4 and verse 7. Let's see what the Word of God has to say. Genesis 4 and 7 said, If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Let me read that again. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him, and thou shalt rule over him. And this was God actually was talking to Cain and was telling him about, if you do the right thing is going to follow. You know, if you make a point of trying to do what's right, if you push and let the right thing follow, then good is going to follow. I'm trying to think of how my mama would have said it you reap what you sow. And so we've got to learn how to reap good. We've got to learn how to reap good because we've sown good. We've got to learn how to give and give good and be accepting and be forgiving and all of those things. And then that's what's gonna follow us. And so we've got to begin to, again, it says that you're responsible. You're the one that's in control of your spirit. You're the one who can say yes to doing it God's way or yes to doing it your own way. You're the one who can say, I need to let go of this bitterness and forgive so-and-so or let go of this situation and get past some things. It is up to you. You're in control. You're in control. Another verse we want to look at is Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. I'm turning as fast as I can. There's Proverbs. Proverbs 24. I want to look at verse 10. Hallelujah. I hope this is blessing somebody on tonight because we've got so much bitterness that we're holding on to in the church. And it's amazing to me even when I was looking at the scripture because we can't get past some things in the church and we're wondering what's holding up our healing. We can't get past some things in the body of Christ, and we're wondering why the blessings are being held back. Bitterness is something that can hold the blessings back, and we've got to begin to let it go. Amen, somebody. So Proverbs 24 and 10 say, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Oh, if that's putting letting the rubber meet the road right there. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Where's your faith? Where's your faith in God? You know, if you're falling out, if you let everything rub you the wrong way, then it's small. Your strength was small. You didn't really have no strength to begin with. You can tell me anything, and it's amazing. It's amazing how we should be mature in Christ. We should be mature in Christ, but when the little things hit us, we fall apart. We fall apart. Huh? Come on, somebody. I know the Holy Spirit is dealing with you. I know he's dealing with us. Amen. We love God. We shout loud. We do everything. And then a bill could come in the red, and we ready to, you know, yeah. Why me, God? Little things come against us. And he said, if you faint, keep this in mind, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength was small. Can I just reverb it for you? If you faint in the day of adversity, your faith was small. So we need to measure it. If everything just sends us off on a tangent, if everything make us fall out and cry, become bitter, become angry, then we've got to begin to look at what we are, where is our maturity level in Christ? Are we still on milk? Are we still on milk? And I'm not talking about desiring the sincere milk of the word. I'm talking about you can't even have meat because you still, yeah. And so we need to begin to look at that. Let's look at Proverbs 21, the same chapter, Proverbs 24, and let's go down to verse 20. I said that wrong. Let's go to Proverbs 21st chapter and look at verse 22. So we're turning back to 21, and let's look at verse 22. It said, a wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Let me read it again. Proverbs 21st chapter, verse 22. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. And when I'm looking at this verse, a wise man scaleth the city of the mighty. He's going on high. He's looking at some things. He's looking at it. He's patrolling it. He's seeing what's what. Huh? He's scouring it out. Huh? He's looking at it. He says, and then he casted down the strength of the confidence. You know, he's using wisdom. We've got to begin to learn how to use godly wisdom in situations and circumstances and not just fall apart. You know, sit back, scale a city, see what it is that you need to be doing. And, of course, in everything that we do, we're asking Holy Spirit to assist us and to help us. And then in doing so, we're casting down the strength of the the confidence thereof. We're getting that confidence that we need in God. Our strength, we're being strengthened in our most holy faith, if you will. Okay? And so we've got to begin to trust in the Holy Spirit and not become bitter because of adversities. That's what we're talking about. Not become bitter because of adversities. Not become bitter because things not going the way we want them to do it. Not becoming bitter because people are not being controlled by us. We said, hold up your hands. They didn't hold up their hand, so now we mad. You know, I thought my friends were going to vote with me, and they didn't vote with me, so now I'm bitter. I don't want to talk to you no more. I done unfriended you on Facebook. I done deleted you from my phone, my contacts in my phone. Come on, people. Really. You know, let's get rid of bitterness. Amen. Somebody saying amen. I hear you. I hear you saying amen. And so we have to begin to understand that we have to stop. And again, we have to understand that the root of bitterness is really us seeking our own self-will, our own self-will. We're trying to do what it is we want to do and not allowing God to do what he needs to do in us. Okay, Colossians 1 and 10. Colossians 1 and 10, we're going to get that. Amen. Colossians 1 and 10. Hallelujah, Jesus. Colossians 1 and 10. Holy Ghost is really being nice to me today. Okay, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Reading it again, Colossians 1 and 10. And this is a prayer, actually, that I think that you can pray when you're asking God to, it's a model prayer. You can just read these scriptures and turn it into a prayer and ask God. And that's in Colossians, the first chapter, you can start with the 9th verse and read all the way through to like the 18th verse, and it's a prayer. But this particular verse says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You are not to allow anger to get the upper hand and gain control of your mind or your conduct. Since Satan uses these opportunities to affect your life, you must live in a manner that pleases to how you feel. Getting past your feeling and saying, God, this is what I'm feeling, but I'm not going to allow this thing to turn into bitterness. I'm going to live my life so that you are pleased with me. And so as we begin to look at this, my time is growing nigh, and we're going to just close with a word of prayer. We're going to close with a word of prayer. Hallelujah. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we present our whole body, O Lord God, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. We come, O Lord God, to confess any sins, God, any area of our life that we are having bitterness or holding resentment or unresolved anger, O Lord God. We pray out in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord God, that we will be strengthened as we come into the knowledge of who you are. strengthen us, oh Lord God, that we'll be able to go and make amends. Savior, to let, we want to put away all wrath, all anger, all malice, oh Lord God, and we want to diligently look within ourselves, God, that there be no root of bitterness that can defile us, God. So we commend this prayer unto you, Father, and we count it as done by faith. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you all so much for joining us on tonight. Be sure to put a like for us on Facebook, that you listen to the Block Talk Radio program on tonight. We're going to pick up with this some more, because I think that when we're talking about dealing with bitterness, we really, really need to see it for what it is. So next week, we'll pick up a little bit more about getting to the root of bitterness and digging that thing out so that it does not have any place in our lives. Amen. Join us or email us at truthdeliveranceministry@yahoo.com or look at our Facebook page, Truth Deliverance Ministry on Facebook, and give us some questions, comments, or just say, I enjoyed the program. Please spread the word. Let people know that on Tuesday nights at 8 to 8:30, Truth Deliverance, nothing but the truth is on the air. Until we meet again on next week, may God's greatest and God's best be yours. Good night, everyone. Thank you so much.